Season 4, Episode 43 of the Decoded Podcast. We used to call this summer school, but you and I haven't. We haven't been here since, I think, July 10th.
Yep, July 10th was our last epi.
The only reason I know that is because this morning, before I sent you the link to this episode, I did some homework. I had three podcast episodes that still hadn't been pushed out to Shref. So I made sure to get that done this morning. So we're all up to date. And a really funny thing happened in our absence is, so I've got like, I had a pad of papers like this. And sometime in July, my son, my youngest, was in the office and he's like, "Hey, Dad, there's this really cool pad of paper. Can I use it to draw pictures and cartoons and stuff?" And I said, "Can you show it to me?" So he showed it to me. And I said, "Yeah, you can use it, but there's like two or three papers that I need you to save because I've got podcast stuff on it." He's like, "Yeah, I saw those. I already put them aside." So this morning, when I go to get the paper that I use, I've got the episodes, the three episodes that I had to deal with, and then just one side's empty. So after I do this episode, I have no episode paper because my son used it up over the summer. I had forgotten that had happened until today. And then I had technical issues, which you know about. So I appreciate you you putting up with me while I figured all that out. But it's nice to get back to it. It's nice to talk to you in this way, even though you and I we've communicated all summer, but from different places, right? Because we've both been away and doing all kinds of stuff. So it's good to be back.
I was in a sort of a what the hell moment, actually. So I went to, we went out for some food last night, and one of my kids asked, "Are you podcasting tomorrow morning?" I'm like, "No, I don't think so. I think because we're going to, we'll be waiting until kind of Roland's back in his startup mode, official startup mode. I think we're still in summer style. So I don't think so." And then I go to bed and, you know, I'm out this morning. I'm actually grabbing some groceries. I'm just actually walking into the metro, and the email pops up on my phone. It's like, "Okay, casting this morning, 8:30-ish. I'm like, "Okay, I guess we are back in today." But I had that moment of like I honestly did think, I was thinking to myself, because I'm the early start school. So I start on Monday. So, you know, my school and a handful of schools in my board all start a week earlier, and then we get a week off at the tail end of October. So it's an extra break, a break slotted in. So short in summer, an extra break in late October. So it's a bit of a kind of a funky mindset right now, because I'm talking to people that are still full on summer mode. And we did all our compliance training in PD this past week, and Monday we got students in the classroom. So it was funny. I had to sort of shift, and I thought to myself, this is a good example of, it's a good example of the fluidity of our communication, right? We could come at each other multi-platform. Could be a text, could be a polo, could be a messaging on Instagram. It's like all notifications at all time kind of a thing. But also the fluidity of, I guess, what we do with the podcast. If I couldn't have done it, I would have told you. But I actually didn't have anything set up today. I was just out. Noticed last night, there's no, like, we're down to the bottom of our groceries. So I just hopped out to grab some stuff to cover us till lunchtime so I could, you know, then do the grocery list. But it was funny. Even though I was momentarily surprised with the message, it didn't stop me. I'm like, "Okay, yep, I guess we'll have a conversation this morning." So
I was living by the Clough rule. So I'm kind of surprised to hear that you thought we weren't going to go, because your approach has been, if you don't hear from me, then we're on.
It's a funny thing about patterning, though, right? So that works. I call it
the Clough rule.
That's fine. The Clough rule, I'll go one step deeper. I guess the Clough rule is predicated on previous patterns of behavior.
Oh, interesting. So it gets more complicated here.
Well, you know,
the reason why we haven't podcasted is because we haven't been around.
That is true. That is
true. It's not like I'm sitting here Saturday morning thinking, I'm going to just do nothing this morning, right?
True. And I guess part of what I would say is there was no conversation this week that would have suggested that either one of us was actually available this weekend.
But there was no conversation. Usually we, according to the Clough rule, correct me if I'm wrong, we would have had a conversation about why we couldn't podcast.
That's what we're saying, the same thing.
But then why were you surprised that we're having a podcast if we didn't talk about not having the podcast?
Because of the previous pattern of saying that we were kind of like mentioning that we weren't podcasting. So my brain just hadn't shifted into the possible again. That's all. That's all. But as we mentioned, what's important is that I danced with it. Like I noticed it, right? It's not stopping me. Part of what I'm doing is I'm not hemmed in by the moment. I'm observing my own thinking. So what I'm actually finding remarkable is that I had the moment of surprise. So I'm calling myself out in this way, same way you are. My moment of surprise that I was actually surprised that we would start podcasting again. You're right. It's not in step with my thinking. So that's what I was sort of like working through. Like I was noticing that. It was one to notice that I was surprised. And then the second part was to question, why am I surprised? Because the process is we get back in and we start talking. So I'm with you. I'm just breaking down what it is about it that isn't as firm as I really believed it should be. I'm going to tag this into startup conversations, and you grab the mic. It's a little bit like you telling me this week about the list that you left for yourself for startup, that bit of writing that you sort of like that Easter egg that you left for yourself about what you needed to do to start up to set up a classroom. And then even though when you found the list at the right time, just like this podcast, you found the list at the right time, you're still a little paralyzed as into, okay, but what does it mean? How do I move forward with that? Right? You're still sort of like, it takes a second to kind of get the wheels grinding again. So it's the same thing. I came across your message popped up. It's time to start talking again. I knew exactly that it was going to pop up. It was going to be sometime the end of August, beginning of September, even though there was sort of like a kind of a difference in start time for you and I. But it still had that stopping moment of like, oh yeah, okay, we're going back into this. Why are you surprised by it, Clough? So
I'm fascinated.
Are you really? Is it, or is it just Clough? You're being Clough again.
No. Here, let me tell you exactly what I'm thinking. I'm fascinated because we've talked so much, in my opinion, or maybe it just stands out in my brain. We've talked so much about the operation of how you operate with respect to things like this. And I've just gone with the flow. So I've truly indoctrinated what I call the Clough rule without, we've never talked about like you, now you mentioning patterning. So I'm like, I never considered patterning because I assumed it to be, if we don't communicate that it's not happening, then it's happening. Cause that's my understanding of how you roll. And so last night I wanted to message you and say, are we going tomorrow? But I let the Clough rule supersede that desire to send the text because of the conversations we've had over time. So I'm fascinated truly by you dropping the pattern, I don't even
the operating system behind the operating system,
the sub rule,
yeah,
behind the rule, which then makes me think you're gonna love this, which then makes me think, F it, I'm just gonna text you when I feel like texting you and asking you if we're on or not, because then it's like, who cares about the rules if there's sub rules to them all? That's all. That's what fascinates me. So This is very interesting. Seriously, it is, because I never considered a pattern at all. I just considered from week to week, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to be here this weekend. And you're like, well, I'm going to be here this weekend. And then this is the weekend that nobody's anywhere. And then I have to tell you, I didn't even consider you starting school on Monday as anything. So I'm living in this little world of mine. I didn't even consider whether you wanted to break. But then according to the Clough rule in my head, you would have messaged me and said, yeah, I'm starting school on Monday. This is going to be a busy weekend. I'm not casting. Mm-hmm. So,
and I would have. And see, that's the thing. That's, first off, I wanted to say, you're welcome for helping you grow. you're right. Everything you said is correct. Everything you said is correct. It's just, I guess, an admission that this is the practice. This is the practice of figuring out under what conditions does professional reflection, like we've been doing for 4 years, does it exist? Right. And there's always going to be patterns. Whether you choose to sort of say the pattern is no pattern, well, that's still a pattern. Right. You know, there's something there. I think the hilarious part to this is on one hand, the 7 minutes we've spent sort of like unpacking my pattern is no pattern or a pattern is a pattern. I think in some ways what's cool is the ability to sort of kind of laugh about it a little bit, but to understand that this also for other people might be a challenge. There's other people coming into school right now looking at that. We'll go back to the list and they're like, nothing is how it was. I feel like I need someone to kind of tell me where I am and to sort of like trigger me into the working. So here's what this past week, I think I mentioned to you, I really was craving, because I'm moving into a new program, I was waiting for the things that would trigger me into work. Almost like it's sort of like the external obligations. It's not that I didn't have motivation myself. I did have intrinsic motivation to get stuff done. But I had this sense like, and I think this was kind of built into me from this past school year, that I can do a whole lot of stuff that's a part of my list that I set in June. But there's a risk that I could be designing in the wrong direction. There could be a risk that I'm thinking in the wrong direction just because of the way the announcements were coming from the ministry, the way that we were getting updates, constant and sometimes inconsistent updates. Like you're as clear as your last update sometimes from our system right now. A lot of change. So I still have things I have to get done for my classroom for Monday morning. But I wanted to walk as close to that edge of high productivity and high proficiency. I needed both of those to kind of be clicking together. So chasing answers this past week was really, really challenging because everybody was in the same kind of space trying to figure that out. How do I get as much done possible based on the scant information we have about grade 9 startup day, based on COVID stuff, based on all the equity stuff that we had to train? Like, how do you sort of get all that into a usable package for a Monday? Because Monday, it's like, you're on, go. So I was sort of waiting for the indicator. What's the thing that's going to sort of light me up and get me thinking and using the energy that I had at the tail end of June? So I needed something to sort of spark me up. And it sort of came in the form of, I think I messaged you this. I actually, so the new program, I'm still, I'm familiar with the programming. I did similar programming a couple years ago. So I'm in a community classroom supporting students with autism. So that's my programming, small community classroom. And I've done this programming before, same general area, let's say same house, different room. So I'm sort of doing different work. So I have a sense of where I need to go with my opening design, But sometimes you don't know where to look exactly, and you need people to kind of direct your gaze. So it's a little bit like having textbook learning without having lived the specific lived experience. Lived experience helps bring textbook learning to life, right? And it can change it. It can erase it. It can actually bend it and break it. It can origami it into different sort of like shapes. So I have the sense of what I have to do, but I didn't have a sense of what I should do first. And then I get an email saying you need to deal with these transportation forms. And I'm like, there it is. Now I have a concrete thing that will start my thinking into the path of this spec ed space that I need to start focusing on. And I had to chase some of the trans because it did a couple things. One, I haven't completed a transportation form in a few years. Like I haven't had to actually do one. I've seen them in the system. So transportation form is just it's where students have arrangements for transportation from home to school. And you have to get the approval of admin. You have to have a conversation with the family, with the kid. There's checklists that have to be completed out. You have to get it to our transportation, I think, superintendent or supervisor. And then the principal that's involved. Like there's a lot of different people that have to tick off on it. So that process of being sort of dropped right into a very technical short, like it's a short, it's not complex, but there's just a lot of little sort of check boxes you have to follow. It got me thinking again and got me ready. It was the, here we go, get into the year. Now what's interesting is that wasn't specific work that helped me get my classroom ready, but it did light my brain up. It did get my brain sort of thinking now in taking that first step out of summer mode and back into the classroom. And, you know, this last podcast of season four is similar, right? This is the step that we have just before we move into season five, you know, our next school year. I dig it. I do dig it. It's okay. I mean, I feel very comfortable saying, go back to the email that I was confused. I was delighted. I was surprised. And I was also calmed. I was like, okay, we're back in. We're talking. And to sort of just to be able to measure it like that, like I feel okay. Someone's thinking like this dude's manic. Like he's still talking about this. All of this I think is how I try to explain purpose. All these little pieces fuel into and fill into purpose. And it's what keeps me coming back to this podcast to have conversations with you because it is purposeful to me. So
it was weird not having our chats on Saturday mornings. Mm-hmm. When I was away at around 8:30, I would feel like this is weird. I'm supposed to be in front of a computer, or the pattern has been that I'd be sitting in front of a computer. But, you know, you and I talked about it, and it was like, it was a great summer that way in terms of both of us were doing things with our family, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about. So if it meant that we couldn't podcast, well, we couldn't podcast, which is, it's pretty awesome that we were able to sneak in, 42 episodes this last school year. And I guess the next one, if we do one next Saturday, it'll be season five, the start of season mm-hmm. five. So it's pretty cool that we've been able to accumulate all those times, all those Saturday mornings. And sometimes it's not been Saturday morning. It's been Sunday night or weird other times when we could get together. But you talk about the list that, so I was telling you that years ago at one school I was at, June would start, and inside my closet door, I had this piece of paper that was taped to the wall inside the door, and I would make notes of all the things that I need to have ready for startup. It's just funny because as kids are shutting down, I'm seeing everything like reverse engineered, like, oh, they're putting this stuff away. That means I need to have that to start mm-hmm. the school year, right? So I made this great list. And like you said, I came in August and I looked at it and I had no idea where to start, even though I had a list. And it happened to my wife yesterday. I got a text at around lunchtime and she said, I'm at work and I'm just spinning my wheels. So I'm going to grab some lunch and come home and I'm going to do some stuff on the computer that I need to do. But I can do it at home. And I was like, great idea. Get out of there because you're going to be there for 10 months. And that's going to involve nights. It's going to involve weekends. So if you're there and you've gotten to the point where you're just spinning your wheels, get out of there. There's no reason to stay. I know that feeling all too well. I think many teachers understand that feeling. You know, there are some teachers that won't even go to work in the summer in the day. They go at night because they know if they go in the day, they're going to talk to people and they're not going to get anything done. So they spend their days doing whatever they would do at night. And then at night they go in and they work because they don't want to have to, you know, of 3 hours, spend 45 minutes of social time, which I completely understand that as well. I know you laugh, but
I did not know. It's because I did that yesterday.
Okay.
I did that yesterday. Time? No. Well, I would be doing something in the classroom and I'm like, oh, okay. I need to go down to the main office. I need to go somewhere in the school. And every single time, I'd sort of, you know, I'd have my list on my phone and then it's like, I look out the door down the hallway. I'm like, just to see if anyone's walking down the hallway. I'm like, okay, there's nobody out there. Okay, go. Just, and it's not that I didn't want to make social connection. I knew it happened either way. But when I thought to myself, I've got 10 minutes because then I want to move on to kind of getting this thing done, or I got to make a phone call or I got to send an email. I'm looking out the door. I'm checking traffic just to see if it was reasonable for me to sort of do that. And then also thinking of expeditious ways. Okay. So if I'm going to go to the photocopier, then I'll take care of the office at the same time. And then I'll hop back out to my car and then come back in. And I'll come right back up the stairs again because I'm trying to think of what's the path, the best flow to sort of get 3 or 4 things done. So check-in traffic was huge because you always have that story. Karen and I always have that story. We'll come home about the setup where, yeah, you know, I want to get this thing done, but then, you know, I ran into so-and-so. And it's not a complaint as much as an observation about how powerful the social bindings are in the work that we do.
Even so, okay, two stories. No, one story. My son had camp this week, hockey camp. Mm-hmm. And oh my goodness, of all the two of the people working the camp are teachers. One's elementary, one's high school. And my son was laughing at me because every day at camp I drop him off and I'm like, okay, see you. And I'd be walking back to the car and I'd see a parent that I hadn't seen in a while. And then we'd chat. And next thing you know, the parking lot's empty. The kids are starting camp. And my son's looking at me like, why are you still here? But it happened yesterday. Yesterday? Yeah, I drop my son off, go to the car, and I see one of the instructors coming in who's a teacher in my school board, elementary. And we've never met face-to-face, just digital. And so we started talking. It was hilarious because at one point I turn around and I see my kid standing there staring at me, pointing at me like, you're distracting. Coach Mike is supposed to be in here getting his stuff ready for his group and you're chatting him up in the parking lot. But it was all teacher talk. It was all shop talk. Like we talked hockey for 2 minutes and then boom, we went right into, you know, how do you feel about the school year coming up? Have you been in to set up? Like, just stuff like that, eh? And I do enjoy the social component, but there are times when you burn all your time with the social. And it just can't. And it's funny because I can tell sometimes I'll walk into, well, when I was at John's, because I'm away for the year from my school, I'd walk into my teaching partner's class, say, hey, how are you? She'd be good. And I'd be like, what's going on? She'd tell me. And then we'd walk away because we could do that. We knew to do that. We're like, we'll talk later. Right now, stuff's got to get done. And some people, I guess, avoid doing the stuff by being social because they're spinning their wheels, or they're looking at their list and they're like, oh, there's so much to do, I don't even know where to start. And I mentioned this to you in a message I sent you this week, is classroom teacher's job is tough. There's a lot that they need to do to get ready. And like I said, when it's on, it's on. It doesn't stop for 10 months. And I'm doing my best to keep that in my head as I prepare for my job, because my new job doesn't involve me setting up a classroom. And I have to tell you that I'm enjoying that aspect of my new job at the moment.
Ambiguity.
Dude, the ambiguity compared to setting up a classroom, mm-hmm. I'm good with the ambiguity. I'm good with the waiting to meet with my team and to actually do the work that we need to do so that we can do our job.
So are you waiting for those same – are you – so when I was talking about I needed – I felt all of a sudden like I needed something to activate me. Are you craving something similar? Like you're waiting for that, okay, here's when this meeting is, or okay, here's the phone call here. Like, do you know what I mean? Like one of the terms I've encountered before, maybe you've encountered this as well, is professionally managed time. And professionally managed time is the euphemism for when you don't have a formally scheduled day, right? So in a lot of ways, if you don't have a classroom that is bound by a very specific bell system, then you kind of are on professionally managed time. And these spaces sometimes can be a real challenge to sort of insert yourself into, because you suddenly realize how systematized you are. You can be surprised with the commitments or the obligations or the scheduling of it, because it doesn't jive with what you remember from the classroom. So yeah, just wondering if you had any sense of similarity there, where you're waiting for the thing that says, here we go, time to get rolling.
So I don't like the wording of, I don't like calling it waiting. I know something's, I'm not sitting here twiddling my thumbs, like checking my email every 5 minutes, mm-hmm. waiting for it that way. I'm more like, I don't truly have my marching orders yet, so I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing until mm-hmm. they come. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So I heard from my new supervisor last week. It was a great email welcoming me and my teaching partner to the Catholic Education Center, the board office. And, you know, just saying like she provided us with something to consider as we prepare to do the work that we're going to do. And she mentioned that we would be meeting this week so that we could meet the third member of our team, a social worker. So that was awesome to get that email to say, hey, welcome. This is what's going on. This is what I want you to kind of think about as we get ready to move into our job. And I'm like, awesome. So, you know, the next message I get will be the message that tells us when we're getting together so that we can actually dig in. That's the other thing too. So in my role, I'm working on a team. And because we've never done this before, we don't really know where to start as individuals. So mm-hmm. even if, I mean, I've got some thoughts in my head, I've got ideas, I've got processes, but none of them really mean anything until I'm sitting with the team and I say, have we considered this, or should we consider that, or what have you considered? And then start like getting it all out so we can put it together and move in a direction that we all want to move in. And I think it's because it's the first time. If this, like I talked to a colleague who works at the Catholic Education Center. This colleague, they're not part of a team per se. And I said, like, what are you going to be doing next week? And the response was this, this, and this, unless I'm told to do something different. it's that professionally managed time. This person has done this job before. They understand. They understand that they manage their time unless they're instructed to jump in somewhere else with something. And so this person was sharing with me, well, nobody's instructed me, so this is what I'm going to do because these are the things that need to get done or need to get started before the school year gets underway. Like, that's pretty cool. I don't have that yet. And I may not have that at all. Like, we may start and then we may find out that this position ends. It's only a 1-year position at the moment and that's all it was. And then I don't have to even think about how to start up next year because I will have my classroom list and I'll be back in my classroom to set up a classroom and to teach grade 3 again. So I'm in this weird place, but as I've told you, I'm really excited to be in this weird place. I don't feel fear. Like, I feel like there's a little bit of, I wonder this and I wonder that, but there's more excitement about, I get to actually do something that I've been talking about doing since I became a teacher that doesn't exist for classroom teachers. And I've said this to many people. As a classroom teacher in elementary, you know, mental health is important, you know, with your students, engaging them in ways to get them to want to be where they are learning with you is part of our job, but so is numeracy, literacy. For me, it's religion and faith formation. And every day when a kid walks into class, they come with whatever they come with. In my new role, I don't have to concern myself with literacy, numeracy, right? I may, if the student leads me there, then yes, I'll deal with it. But that's not where I'm starting with kids. I'm starting with, uh-oh, this person's not in school anymore. What do we need to do? Let's establish communication. Let's figure out what needs to happen to bring the student back to school. It's all the things. It's all the things as a teacher, a classroom teacher, I would do, but it would be like the 7th or 8th things on this list of priorities, even though we all know it's number one priority. But I can't tell my principal I didn't do numeracy today because Joey had a rough night last night. Numeracy is still going to happen. But what else is still going to happen is that one-on-one counseling with Joey to make sure he's good, and that I know what's going on as much as I can know to help Joey function in the classroom and possibly function better outside of school. So for me, it's exciting because I get to move what was on my list of 7 and 8 up to 1 and 2, you know, and then numeracy becomes 7 and 8. It's that bit of, you know, we're always joking that we're police officers, we're counselors, we're social workers. Well, I'm actually now at the top of the list. I'm actually a counselor again. I'm actually a support resource again. I'm actually somebody to listen to the kids without having to worry about bells or the bus or home time. That's where my head is right now. I don't know what it actually looks like when I start to do this work, but that's what's in my head right now. And that excites me more than it scares me.
Mm-hmm. Going back to where you started with that, it feels like you're in a similar space to the wanting to design in the right direction. So there's a whole lot of thinking that's going on about kind of accessing the sort of the tools that you have. Kind of it's like it's the mise en place of the job. So often, you know, in the culinary world, you talk about your mise. And that's all the chopping, the setting out of your tools, the arranging of your cutting board, you're preheating the oven, you're making sure you got your seasonings out that you need in order to deliver the recipe. There's still variables. The recipe could not end up, you know, I mean, if you're doing it from your head, mise happens whether you're working from a recipe or working from your head. It's the setup that happens in the culinary world. And that's what I hear in your process here, is that you're sort of getting your mise ready. You're not quite sure exactly what the dish is going to be, but you're making sure that everything's kind of set out so that when you start to get the idea formation, whether it happens from, you know, the series of meetings that you have, or the board data, or the imagining that you and your teaching partner, or I guess counseling partner that you'll be working with, you're going to be able to say, okay, I've got these tools. You'll know which part of your kit to look at, but you got everything ready. And there's value to that. I think that's often too the part of setting up the classroom that is undervalued to sort of go in. You know, I went in this past Monday and I sat, I put the chair, I do this often. There's a book, I love it. It's called The Third Teacher. It's a book I go back to again and again and again, and talks about, you know, how you set up your learning spaces and what are some cool learning spaces that really enrich the actual learning. There's some fantastic, this is where my ADHD kicks in. Now I have to go find it. There it is, The Third Teacher, right here. I didn't actually put it too far. So, you know, our 1,000 viewers. But this, fantastic book. And you can open it at almost any, at any spot. Have you seen this book before? I know I've dropped it. I've mentioned to you.
You have dropped it, yes.
Yeah, so there's like 79 suggestions in here. The design of the book is pretty beautiful too. But you know, like you get number 42, reveal how stuff works, making school infrastructure literally transparent to display the flows of water and waste, teaches kids the workings of the real world. So this is how you would build a learning space that actually connects well with what you're actually learning. So if you're in a geography class or if in a science class, to actually have transparent pipes on your sinks and walls where you could see the waste stuff moving out of the room, you're all of a sudden turning your science lab into something that's a like full of visual astonishment. So what I do is, and it's, I think, a little bit like what you're doing right now. It's like Monday I went and I sat in the middle of the room. I just put a chair there. I sat there and I tried to imagine. I tried to imagine the experiences that will unfold in that room. And then I sort of wrote a few things down, like for some of the ingredients I might need. And then I started to really kind of try and connect that with the actual courses that I'm teaching. So I didn't start first with the courses, because the way that my program is, I'm teaching learning strategies, but I'm also doing something non-credit based courses on life skills and personal care skills. So I'm imagining the room. It's like one of those kind of fast forward time lapse videos of a family in a house. And, you know, it kind of starts with the, you know, maybe the couple walking in, and then all of a sudden it goes into fast mode of the couple kind of upgrading the living room, and then they're moving over, and then the couple, all of a sudden, is one of them's holding a little baby, and then all of a sudden there's a dog running through there, and then the house slowly changes, and you know, the light is kind of changing across to the point where in the end, you know, then the couple are sitting on the front porch on their rocking chairs, you know, sharing some sort of an anecdote. I often go through that moment and try and play out the whole school year in my classroom. I just imagine it. And this time I took an hour. I'll say that flat out. I took an hour of my time just to sit in the room and try and imagine all the different things I could do with the room, all the different things the kids could do with the room, and started to sort of put together some of the wants and needs lists. But again, I'll go back to anybody that wants to try and get into that thinking, buy this book. It was $40 back in the day. I don't know how much it is, but it's The Third Teacher. Really cool.
I know that we have to shut down soon, but we have a couple of comments. Christine Chin's been watching us for a bit, and the first thing she said was she's been anticipating the queue.
Mm-hmm. The queue. I like that queue.
That the queue's being held off until Monday.
Yeah.
I like that too. Even the way she wrote it in there like that. And then she made a comment about wondering and appreciating how many administrators are actively taking the timing of communications into consideration. That, for me, that automatically hits me with the email I got from my supervisor, who's a supervisory officer in SO. And I can appreciate how busy she is. You know, she's new to our school board, and they had a big presentation to do with the administrators. There was a big administrator meeting. And, you know, she mentioned in the email to me about hiring the social worker that's going to be on our team. So, like, as I read this email, knowing what's happening in my board and knowing what she's telling me, it's like, whoa, there's a lot going on there. So, you know, for little old Roland to be like, what's going on? There's just no reason for that. It'll come to fruition when it's time for it to come to fruition. But the timing of the communications is so important. And I had this conversation with a couple of administrators the other day who told me that they told their staff, I will not be emailing you until the end of August unless something crazy happens. So it was one of those, don't expect to hear from me. You'll hear from me near the end when it's time to start thinking about startup. But if something really wonky happens, I will email all of you. And even then they're like, we still don't expect you to be reading your emails, but it might be a good idea to check it once a week or something, just so that if I do have to send you something that of importance, it's there. But I appreciated that. I appreciated them telling me that they told their staff at the end of June, I'm not planning on sending you any emails until, you know, the day or two before you're allowed in the building again, just to give you some parameters on how to operate in the building or what to do if you're new to the school, when I'll be in the building, like important information that people need to know. I do appreciate that. And I don't think I would have appreciated hearing from my supervisor all summer long. It's summer, you know, we're not in work. I'm not in work. Supervisory officers are, and I would dare to say principals responsible for a school need to be kept in the loop. But at the teacher level, I don't need to be kept in the loop. That's just my opinion at the moment on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I noticed the two sides to what Christine was asking there too, the wonder and appreciate. So my take from that is that, that there are teachers that need downtime from email and recognize that even the best laid plans to take downtime from email, may be feel compelled for a bunch of different reasons to look at email when it comes through in the summertime or from whomever, or it could be prioritized according to the sender, you know, who knows. The system's there. It's just waiting for you. The system's waiting for you. So to step away from it, say you're stepping away from it is actually different than stepping away from it. So, and you're usually the test is, I like to, it's sort of in some ways, I think back to when I used to be a smoker and sorry, I don't, I get twisted up whether I'm saying I'm a non-smoker or just a person who stopped smoking because there's been moments where I've actually turned to Karen and said, you know what? I could totally go for a cigarette now. Like there's just, it's something triggers you. It gets in your brain. There's just something about it. You know, you see something, you hear something, you're in a moment of having to deal. You know, especially for me, smoking was connected with relaxation. It was connected with a sense of satisfaction and that I was gifting myself and telling myself, you deserve this thing. It was a part of my lifestyle when I was working in hospitality before. So there really was to be able to steal a moment for yourself was connected with having a cigarette. And you start to parallel those two things. Then all of a sudden, whenever you're, you know, looking to steal a moment for yourself, then you're looking to have a smoke too, right? And then you have the de-addiction that comes out of it. I think some ways email is the teacher addiction equivalent of that, that you don't want it, but you're like, oh, but I got to check it because there could be something important. And then you read it and you say, oh, there was nothing in there important. So it's like that, it's that ludic loop of short satisfaction. You know, it brings that it for very little. The other part to Christine's comment, though, that I am aware of is I think the wonder part is good for teachers to spend some time in that conversation, maybe with their admin, in order to humanize the moment. Because, you know, observing, I have a good relationship with my admin right now and a lot of open conversation. I've mentioned before that my spouse is an administrator, and the complicated deluge of emails and communications that are coming from the board consistently. And, it's the, you'll be talking with an administrator and you hear their phone, ding, 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 or you're in their office, ding, ding. Like that's it. That notification system isn't, you know, the family saying, yeah, yo, what do you want for dinner? It's, it's the, another email coming from the board, right? The split focus. So my wonder is, it kind of goes back to the wellness part and what is the impact of the current information flow and update flow from the board? Like, what is that? What real impact? I assume real impact. And for me, I assume negative or deleterious impact on individuals, because information is changing so frequently. So frequently right now, as far as the updates to get the school running, and some messages are flip-flopping, and there's some competing voices. So you might get an email and an email from different places, and we get some of them from the board as teachers. We don't get all of them, but like I said, standing in my administrator's office the other day and just hearing the notification things pinging off. That's not my reality in the classroom. I just spent an hour sitting in my classroom imagining what I'm going to do with that room and connecting with the students, right? An hour. And I enjoyed it. And I had this book in my lap. I'm like, what can I do? What can I do to sort of make this experience awesome? And no one's saying, here, action this, action this, action this, action this. So that's the wonder part. I appreciate Christine's comment. I think, I've mentioned before the whole post-compassion COVID response. Coming into this school year, compassion's everything. Like, just, and I might even have to start using the word grace, which I have an uncomfortable relationship with, but compassion and grace.
There's the title for, I like that. Well, I love the
it's kind of this light is affecting
the second match with the major flame. I love that. What did you just say? Compassion and care?
Grace.
Oh, sorry. Compassion and grace.
Yeah. Compassion and grace.
Thanks for the title for this week's episode.
You're welcome.
Okay. It was nice getting back. Christine says her spouse is an administrator as well, and it's constant.
Yep. When you know, you know. When you know, you know.
Before we go. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for checking us out. Thanks for jumping in and leaving some comments so that
we can have a conversation. Yeah, I appreciate that. I love the extra. I love the it's like we mentioned this before. It's a little bit like we're sitting in our classroom, and it's that moment when someone just leans in the door. Yeah, and yeah. It's like one of us has us. It's for me. I feel like I got my back to the door. And then you're like, you can see someone standing there wanting to say something. And then you drop it in. I'm like, oh, cool. Hey, come on in.
It's so true. So true.
Yeah, yeah.
Years ago, I was at a friend of mine. I was at his house. He used to be my vice principal. Then he was promoted to principal. And I was over there. And he went to go do something. And I said to his wife, how's it going? Because it was his first school. Mm-hmm. And she said, Roland? She said, in the middle of the night, that phone's going off. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, before we go to bed, he puts the phone in the kitchen. He plugs it in the kitchen and just leaves it in the kitchen, and we go to bed. And she said she can hear pinging at like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. And I'm like, what? She goes, just staff emailing at different times about different things, and you know, whether they think he's getting it or not, she goes, I can still hear the ping, you know. And she looked at me like, it's insane. It's insane. I'm like, and that was years ago. That was like way before anybody imagined the pandemic was coming or whatever. And I was like, yeah, you know, even like you said, I'll be in my principal's office. We'll be having a conversation. I'll hear it. Ding, ding. And I'll say, do you need to check that? He's like, no, does that all day. So when I'm done meeting with you, I'll check.
What I love is, so I have a pretty good fluency of the native notification sounds for each of the, like if you don't change them, depending on if the notification is landing on your computer versus landing on a MacBook versus landing on your mobile phone, and if your mobile phone is an iPhone versus an Android, I love the suite of sounds that you hear in different people's offices, because it's ping ping, it's you know, and then they have like other ones like the robotic babble, babble, babble. Like everyone has this different suite of notifications that it's something that I can remember this last year, 2 years, 5 years ago, I was fascinated with the sticker stories on people's laptops. And, you know, I went through the stage of grabbing photos and looking at all the kind of like sticker packs that people had put on their laptops and asking them about, you know, like, oh, what's this sticker? Like actually asking the stories about what each sticker kind of represented. I'm now moving into this notification zone of how people have different sounds of notifications, because you can stand in someone's office or near someone and you hear, you know, some orchestral music, like a high violin sound, and then ping, like you get all these, it makes me feel like everyone's carrying this kind of weird ass musical instrument around with themselves that you never really know when it's going to start. Yeah. So it's kind of funny, funny and sad, but funny, more funny.
Well, I wish you a great first week of school.
Thanks, dude. Updates will follow.
I'm sure they will.
So interesting, just to say, I was thinking.
I think it's one of those things, Christine, once you jump in and it becomes part of your world, it becomes part of your world. I totally understand.
But you got to be real. Yeah, part of it is I love the, yeah, for sure. We're always open too, Christine. Reach out. Side note. I'm in that place. I finished both my PQPs and trying to decide if I'm going to action my practicum. So reach out, dude. Happy to chat about where I am at my headspace. But part of, I think what's cool is to get real with yourself. You gotta get real with yourself. And that's been a big part of yours in my conversations, is even with this podcast. How does my need to have this podcast conversation dance with the realness of my life? And, you know, I think the more you do that, the harder decision-making becomes, the harder of arriving at a decision becomes, but the easier you get at sort of like the process of approaching the decision, because you really then only, you get far clearer, it becomes very less abstract. I know exactly the, I can never say, maybe Christine's the same, and I think you as well, I can never say, I'm not sure if this is good or bad for my family. I know exactly, whether I choose to admit it, I know exactly the impact of any given change that I'd make in my educational world will have on my family. But it's just because I've spent the time really kind of trying to parse that out, pull it apart. Not saying I wonder, or maybe not even saying I wonder, just sort of going into it and then dealing with it afterwards. So I'll do all that. I'll front load that thinking. Doesn't necessarily mean I don't work towards it, but it changes how I work towards it in a way. So I appreciate Christine for dropping that wisdom in.
Right on, dude.
All right, dude. I'll, we'll probably chat later.
Yeah. Nothing's going to change. You and I.
Yeah. Nothing. Yeah. Chat. Yeah.
It just won't be live.
It won't be live.
Okay. Well, have a good one and enjoy your grocery shopping.
Yeah. You too. Peace.
See ya.